Voice of the Blue is brought to you by the American Police Hall of Fame in Titusville, Florida. Check them out at aphf.org.
The Police Hall of Fame and the United States Law Enforcement Foundation, where bold vision and hope align to create a better tomorrow for all law enforcement and the communities they serve by strong advocacy, hard and soft skills training and education, and their many programs of compassion. To learn more, please go to uslef.org or aphf.org.
16 is on scene.
Welcome to Voice of the Blue, brought to you by the American Police Hall of Fame in Titusville, Florida. I am Royce, your host, bringing you the stories of the men and women of the law enforcement profession. You've heard me talk on this program before how it seems that the misdeeds of police officers always seem to be at the forefront of the news way too often. While it always, well, I don't know if it's always, but too often it seems that their heroic actions and the things that happen to them and they're in the line of duty seem to receive not as much attention. And these are the people, these are our fellow citizens who run toward trouble and tragedy, and they selflessly put their lives in jeopardy on a daily basis. They face the dangers of hardened career criminals. They face the danger of being struck by vehicles on the side of the road when they're doing a traffic stop. So many other things that they face on a daily basis, and they rise to that occasion every day. They interact with very dangerous, desperate people, and we'll be talking about a couple of stories like that on this episode of Voice of the Blue. I often sift through various news sites to find stories like this. And while it's a lot of local newspapers will carry the stories of their local officers, it doesn't seem to be promoted beyond that sometimes. And there's an article by Joanna Putnam, or Putman, I'm sorry, from February of this year, February 21st, 2024. And the title of the article is NYPD Officers Saved 12 from Burning Building After Hearing Screams Outside. Let's look into this story here. It says body camera video shows NYPD officers rushing to remove people from a burning building, as reported by WNBC. The officers were driving by the Brooklyn building on February 14th when they heard screams for help coming from a fourth floor window, according to the report. Officer Vincenzo Rallo, he told WNBC, he said, "When you hear the screams, it's something in you. You can't just disregard that and wait for the fire department." So we went up. Now just think about those words there. He said, "We can't just wait for the people who are trained to handle this situation." Now let that sink in for a minute. Cops are trained to deal with a whole different set of circumstances. But now they see a need. They hear cries for help, and they don't think twice about literally rushing into a building on fire. Again, I hate continuing to use this phrase, but let that sink in. These are extraordinary people as far as I'm concerned. Let me read the rest of the article to you. Officer Rallo and Officer Mark Calwa went into the building and directed people using a flashlight. I'm presuming that's because the smoke was so thick in there and they had to use their flashlights to guide people towards the exit. I don't know if you've ever been involved in a house fire. Praise God, I have not. But I know some people who have, and they say it's one of the most scary things you'll ever go through in your life. The smoke in your home gets so thick you can't see. You don't know where your family members are. You don't really know where the fire is at yet. And it's almost like wandering around blind in a hot box. Mr. Kawa said the first person who came down was a mother with a child. And she just looked like she was going to go down. So I grabbed the baby from her, helped her down the stairs, and took the baby. And that was the first one we brought down. Now listen to this next part. The officers rescued 12 people from the building, according to the report. And what were Officer Caldwell's last, well, not last words, but the words, the last thing he said regarding this incident, he said, "It's just humbling to be there at their time of need and provide that service." You see, I'm glad that this news organization, WNBC, reported on this. I think this stuff needs to go much further than just local newspapers, though, especially in light of all the denigration of the law enforcement profession that you hear in the media today. Everybody seems to be very quick to jump on an officer who makes a mistake in a split-second decision, and they want to see the man hang for it, just about. They have never been in his or her shoes. I challenge all of you out there that like to post anti-cop videos to YouTube and other places, other social media platforms. I want to challenge you to start watching a program I started watching just a few weeks ago, and it's on the Discovery Channel. And I started watching that, and it was, I tell you what, you want a bird's eye view, or not a bird's eye view, I mean a through the officer's eyes view of what they face, you need to start watching that. And the name of the show is, very literally, Body Cam. And you get to see what the officer is seeing. There was one episode that I was watching where they were trying to apprehend a dangerous man who had been threatening his family, threatened to kill his family. He had a shotgun. He had a handgun. They didn't have all of the intelligence that they really needed to go in. But one officer saw the man in his garage with the shotgun laying on the floor. And he, trying to do the right thing, went in with his taser and told him, "Don't you reach for that shotgun." And as soon as he got close enough, the man suddenly pulled out a hidden pistol and shot him 4 times. Fortunately, he survived. But what I like about this program is there's really no music playing while you're witnessing these scenes. And you get to taste the grit of that scene just by watching it. And you see the man looking down at his arm where he had been hit and other places. He was hit multiple times. And if he had not gotten to the hospital until like 5 minutes after he did, the doctor said he would have not been saved. He would not have been able to save the man. Again, these are the people that run toward the trouble. These are the people you call when you have a violent situation out of your control, and you call them to come control the situation. That's some terrifying stuff. Like I said, again, luckily that officer survived. But I would love for all of you guys out there posting those videos to YouTube, please start watching that show. I know you got a lot of video of police misdeeds. Okay, great. Guess what? They're human beings too. Yep, they make mistakes. And yes, they pay for them just like we do. Oh yeah, but they don't always get caught. Neither do we. Many of us have run stop signs, turned left on red, whatever the case may be. We have done many things that we have not been caught for too. All right? And I dare say there might be something even more grave than that in the listener's past. None of us are lily white. None of us are shining angels. We all make mistakes. Here's another article coming out of Massachusetts, an article by Makia Seminara from February 22nd. This is from the Charlotte Observer, and this is from Massachusetts. A Massachusetts officer had to put his knowledge from a CPR refresher class to the test just minutes after completing the course. As a 30-year-old veteran officer at the Winthrop Police Department, Robert Jaworski enrolled in a CPR refresher course to complete Tuesday on February 20th, according to the Winthrop Public Safety news release. 10 minutes after he finished his training, the police department said it got a very important call. A one-month-old baby was choking in a home and needed help, police said. Responders from the police department and the Winthrop Fire Department rushed to the house, but Jaworski was the first to arrive. The infant, named Savannah, was being watched by her grandparents when she started to choke on her formula, and her grandfather, Daniel Barnes, told WCVB. Mr. Barnes said, "My wife was trying to pat her on the back to clear the airway, and thank God the ambulance and the cops showed up." When Jaworski made it to the scene, Barnes told WCVB the officer turned her over to face the floor and patted Savannah's back 3 times. He told the outlet, he said, "The third back blow, the child started crying, which is always a wonderful thing." Jaworski dislodged the formula from the infant's throat, which allowed her to breathe again. The baby and a parent were sent to Massachusetts General Hospital for a checkup after the incident, according to officials. Fire Chief Scott Wiley said in a news release, he said, Officer Jaworski's prompt response and application of back thrust to the unresponsive infant were nothing short of extraordinary and undoubtedly played a crucial role in ensuring the baby's well-being. Indeed, I concur. I couldn't concur more. See, this is the kind of stuff that they do. And by the way, the average officer these days is trained in life-saving techniques, CPR, applying tourniquets, other things like that. No, they're not paramedics, but they can certainly save someone's life before the paramedics get there, which is exactly what Officer Jaworski did. I told you before that these officers face many dangers, and oftentimes that can literally be being hit by a car on the side of the road. This is why I tell people, if you get pulled over, please pull over as far to the right as you can. If possible, get over on the grass. Roll down your passenger side window also, so if they want to approach on the left hand, on the right hand side of your vehicle, they can do that safely and have your car between them and another car. The reason so many officers get hit on the side of the road is because people driving through there start rubbernecking, as they call it. Everybody wants to see why the blue lights are flashing behind that car. And they start watching, and next thing you know, they're not watching the road or the people in front of them. And I tell you what, I have seen quite a few videos of police officers getting literally knocked through the air and falling some 50 to 75 feet away from where they got hit. It is horrible. It's tragic. It happens, unfortunately, and it happened in Georgia. A Georgia state trooper was killed while he was investigating a crash. Yeah, and that's when a lot of this happens. A crash is one of the most dangerous places for cops to be out of their vehicles and walking around the road. Oh, man. I mean, this happens a lot, and it's sad. Trooper First Class Chase Redner had only been with the Georgia State Patrol since graduating from the academy in 2017, just 7 years on the force. And here's the article by Rosanna Hughes and Alexis Stevens from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. A Georgia State Patrol trooper was fatally struck by a vehicle while he was investigating a crash that left a construction worker dead on I-75 in Clayton County overnight Tuesday. Trooper First Class Chase Redner was at the scene of the initial crash in the northbound lanes near Mount Zion Boulevard when he was hit around midnight. The first crash took place around 8:30 p.m. Monday, closing all northbound lanes until around 3:30 a.m. Tuesday, according to WSB 24-hour Traffic Center. This is sad. Just think about this. Just think if you had someone in your family who is a law enforcement officer. This is what their wives dread. This is what their spouses fear. Getting a late night or early morning knock on the door and seeing two police officers in uniform with their hats off and their heads bowed and their face obviously distressed to deliver the news that their loved one will never come home again. That is that's something that puts a lump in my throat. I don't know about you. Really. I mean, even Governor Brian Kemp, he spoke at this trooper's funeral and offered his condolences. But man, goodness, this last story just saddens me, and I should even say it sickens me to some degree. This last story, if there's ever a story that will emphasize that these fine people, these fine American citizens, who, yes, have their faults too, but they face violent people on a daily basis. And I know I gave the dates of the last couple of articles as February of this year. Sadly, this one comes from just yesterday. It was up, actually, it was, March 25th, and it was updated March 26th. And this is an article from the New York Post. A 31-year-old NYPD cop was shot and killed by a career criminal during a traffic stop in Queens on Monday evening in a senseless act of violence, officials and law enforcement sources said. Officer Jonathan Diller, a married father of a one-year-old boy, was shot in the stomach after police tried to remove the suspect, identified by sources as 34-year-old Guy Rivera, from the passenger seat of the car near 1919 Mott Avenue in Far Rockaway, according to the NYPD and sources. Diller, who had 3 years on the force, fell to the ground and screamed that he had been hit after the suspect opened fire. What's not listed in this article was listed in another article is actually Diller still struggled with the man after he had been shot, knocked the gun from the man's hand, and his partner ended up shooting that career criminal, who is in stable condition at one of their local hospitals. But I want you to think about this, and the picture I'm looking at of Officer Diller holding that one-year-old baby is gut-wrenching. The father, a husband, taken from amongst us by a career criminal who had, I think, 20 arrests over his career. I try not to wax political on this program, but I want all of the people who have been responsible for the so-called catch and release there in New York City and other cities across America, arresting people only to give them a signature bond or no bond at all and turn them out, sometimes for very violent felonies. I want you people to understand what you've done. That literally, I believe that you are complicit in this, albeit unwittingly, but you are complicit in Officer Diller's death. There's too many criminals in New York City right now who have been emboldened by this, what I call catch and release that's been going on. These officers put themselves in grave danger every day. They bring them to the jail, and then the district attorney will not press charges on them or let them plead the case down to nothing, where they serve no time. They get probation, or they wear an ankle monitor, and they're back out there doing what criminals do, bad things. Officer Diller was lost to one such person. I believe I'd be willing to bet that if I ran a little research on that criminal, that I would find things that he should probably still be sitting in prison for. Officer Diller faced him bravely, and even when shot, fought back and possibly saved the life of his partner by knocking the gun from that suspect's hand. People, this is what these brave men and women face every day. They put themselves in harm's way. They do it bravely. They do it selflessly. Again, I'm going to remind you, if you have Discovery Channel, look up the program Body Cam, and I want you to watch that. Especially all of you YouTubers out there that like to post the negative stuff about cops, I think you really owe it to yourself and everybody else to be unbiased in your opinions. Really, I think you should watch both sides. Yes, I watch videos too of police doing bad things. Some of them make me sick and enraged. Not because I hate cops, though, because I do love the men and women of law enforcement. And when there's one amongst them that sullies the badge that they also wear, brings shame upon the profession, and engenders these anti-cop attitudes with their actions, yes, that fries me really bad. It really does. Please keep the men and women of law enforcement in our prayers. If you get treated badly by one, there's a process. There's a complaint process, and it can be remedied. But having the attitude that all cops are evil because you ran into a couple that you didn't like, or that treated you badly or rudely or discourteously or disrespectfully even, that doesn't disqualify all the other ones. Please join me in a prayer for the men and women on that blue line today, and a prayer for Officer Diller's family and for his one-year-old son and his grieving wife. Lord, comfort Mrs. Diller, we pray. Rest your hand upon her and comfort her as only you can, Lord. Keep those on that thin blue line today. Keep them safe. Put your protective hand on them, I pray, that no more tragic stories like this will be brought forth. I just hate reading these stories, Lord. Protect them, watch over them, bring them safely home to their families tonight, Father. Let not today be their final day, their end of watch. Amen.